everyone. My name is Reggie Dabbs, and it's an honor to be a part of Planet Shakers once again. Now, right now, you're about to watch a sermon that could change your life and a friend's life. You see, Jesus was crucified with a thief on the left and a thief on the right. In that time, you couldn't be crucified more than 8 feet apart, which means for us today that the answer to your hurt, the answer to your pain and your problem is 4 feet away. All you have to do, no matter what you're going through, is look to the man in the middle. Let's unpack that right now, the man in the middle. So if you got a Bible, go to Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23. And since it's Chocolate Sunday, we might as well have Chocolate Sunday. Hi, you know the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is real, amen? Because once you try him, you're going to like him, and you'll keep coming back for more. So do me a favor, touch your neighbor and say, taste and see that the Lord is real. Go ahead and push it. Here we go. By the way, if you don't know, I'm a saxophone player. Somebody say, all right, all right, all right. You got your Bible? Luke chapter 23, we're going to start reading at verse number 32. Now look, for those of you who have never heard me before, I preach here like I do everywhere. So rule number one, you got to talk to your neighbor. So touch your neighbor and say, I got to talk to you. Rule number two, you got to talk to the preacher. Everybody look up here and say, come on, Reggie. So let's read the Bible. You got to repeat what I say. So here we go. The Bible says in Luke 23, verse 32, two other men, both criminals, also led with him to be executed. Verse 33, when they came to a place called the Skull, they were crucified along with him were the two criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his clothes and they cast lots. Verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Verse 42, then he said, Jesus, remember me. Everybody say that. Jesus, remember me. Say it again. Jesus. Just one more time. When you come into your kingdom, verse 43, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, I'm a thief. And so are you. Here's the deal. Jesus is being crucified. Jesus is hanging on a cross. I grew up educated. Mama made us go to school. Mama made us go to university. Mama made me go to seminary if I'm going to be a preacher. I learned something in seminary. And on this day, in this scripture, there's something you need to know, but I need your help, all right? Y'all got to count with me. I want to show you something. Watch this. When Jesus was crucified, it was on a Roman holiday. So the first thing was, they couldn't kill more than three people. That's why the one thief got to go, and Jesus took his place, if you didn't know that. That's why the one got to go. And then they have another rule. Not only could they only kill three brothers on one day, on that day, they couldn't be more than 8 feet apart. So literally, from one thief to the other thief was 8 feet. Let me show you what that looks like. Please count out loud. No. I asked you to count. Half the room can't count. Everybody, count. Whatever language you speak, they got number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Say it in your language, all right? Here we go. Uno. I just thought I'd go Spanish. Yeah. Keep on. Oh, we almost there. Okay, that, stop. So from there to there. Thief, Jesus. Y'all got it? Let's keep going. Yep. Oh, we got this.
Seven.
One more.
Eight.
Okay, cool. Y'all got it? So you got thief, Jesus. Just so you know, no matter who you are, no matter where you're at this morning, when it comes to the death of Jesus, you are no more than 4 feet from the answer to your problem. You're only 4 feet from the solution to your pain. You're only 4 feet from the miracle. 4 feet from the answer to prayer. 4 feet. I know it's early this morning, but I'm here to tell you in this early service, somebody in this room is just 4 feet from where you need to be. Just 4 feet. 4 feet. Now look, here's the deal. I don't know about this thief. I don't know much about him. But here's what I do know. When Jesus needed him the most, that little thief came through. I don't know if he was on the left. I don't know if he was on the right. But all I know is in Jesus' darkest hour, in his lowest point, there was a soldier about to come and break the legs of the thieves and Jesus. At that moment, there was no disciple. There was no people praying. All there was is one thief who proclaimed and rung out through the atmosphere who Jesus Christ was. You got to understand this morning, Jesus started his ministry by saving the lost, and he ended his ministry by saving a thief. Y'all ain't ready for me this morning. Some of y'all, I know it's early service. Some of y'all are like, why are you preaching like he in the afternoon service? You don't understand. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, you know what? In my own mind, I told a couple of your pastors this. But you know what today is? This whole weekend is the weekend of salvation at Planet Shakers. Weekend of salvation up in this room. I'm going after souls. I'm going after the lost. Look at me this morning. If you're a sinner and you love sin, you need to get your junk and get as far away from me as you can. Because today, your sin in life is in jeopardy of being over after today. Because guess what? Jesus is coming after you. He's knocking at your heart's door. He's asking you to come in. He wants you to be his. He don't care what you did yesterday. He don't care what put you on the cross. He can save you and take you with him to paradise. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, that brother's going for it this morning. I ain't got no choice. There's something about this story that you need to understand this morning. There's something about what happened today you need to understand. See, some of you are looking at me like, oh, you're just one of those black American preachers like the one that did the wedding. I'm going to tell you right now, y'all still remember that brother, don't you? Because you know what? It wasn't his delivery. It wasn't anything except who he was. He said he was a child of God. He said he was saved by grace. He proclaimed the gospel to the whole world just looking in. So I'm going to tell you right now, you can make fun of him because all the English people are like, oh, I can't believe they let that man do that. I tell you what, I bet that little priest behind him wish he could speak like that. Oh, by the way, do you know why we like this? Because you have no idea where we come from. You don't know where we were. You don't know where we were, what cross we were hanging on. When we looked over and decided, I got nothing to lose, so Jesus, remember me. And when we said that, something snapped, something changed. And whatever our memory was, he changed our memory, and he made us who he wanted us to be. Sometimes you gotta just believe. You gotta just believe. And some of y'all, you just need a little brother to yell at you. Or a big brother to yell at you so you believe. You know what I am today? Dude, don't think I'm something special. I ain't nothing special. It's been 4 years. I got off the plane the other day. Little brother opened the door for me. I said, that's the last time you opened the door for me. He said, but sir, I said, uh-uh. I came to be a blessing. I came to serve, not to be served. And I know you guys do that, and it's hospitality, and that's cool. But that's not my game. I'll carry my own bags. I'll sleep on the street if I have to. Yeah, come on. I don't need no hotel. I'll sleep in a car. I'll sleep on a bench. I'm just here to let the world know that Jesus loves me. Hey, so don't mix me up with the rest of them. I'm not making fun of anybody. I just want you to know who Reggie is. I'm the son of a prostitute. My mom slept with a man for $20 to get food for my brother and my two sisters. I'm glad she gave birth to me. But when I was born, she said I was a mistake and I should have never been born. So she gave me away. Till I was 14, I had one name, Reggie. I didn't have a last name until a school janitor went to court and he gave me his last name. So I'm nothing. I come from nothing and I don't mind dying with nothing. But between my coming and my going, I'll be the biggest, blackest greeting card from heaven you'll ever see in your entire life. I just came this morning to tell somebody that even if they deserve to die, even if you're a thief, even if you remember the last time you did wrong, he saw it too. He knows who you are, and he came this morning to save your ever-loving soul. Come home this morning. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, you need to go to the man in the middle. You got to go to the man in the middle. That's the way it is. We all love this. Like when famous people do something, everybody wants to know. Like that wedding 2 weeks ago. Everybody wanted to see that thing. I was in New Zealand watching rugby. Because that's more important than that wedding to my mind. But my wife FaceTimed me. I hate FaceTime. Because if she could only call me, I could pretend I was watching the wedding. And keep watching rugby. But no, she FaceTimed. She goes, let me see what it looks like on your TV. Luckily, my thumbs are fast. I said, here it is, baby. She said, oh, isn't it great? Look at love. Yeah. I tried to go back, but the volume goes on when you go back in the channel. She goes, you're not watching anymore. She goes, hey, look, here it is. Everybody wants to know. You ever wonder if, like, when famous people die, people want to know, what did they do last? Where were they at? What was the last significant thing that they said? Where did they find their body? People want to know that stuff. So Jesus just went ahead and showed us what he did. Isn't it crazy how he did this? The thief, both of them, when it started, the crucifixion, everything they did was making fun of Jesus, cutting him down. Save yourself, save us too. But something happened, and it was around verse 34 when Jesus said those words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Something snapped in one of the thieves. I don't know if it was the one on the left, I don't know if it was the one on the right, but one of them had an incredible vision, a moment when the realization of who Jesus was came down and just flooded his soul. Hanging on a cross, he realized who the man in the middle was. Listen to me. When he got caught stealing, it didn't change nothing. When he was beat by the soldiers, it didn't change nothing. When they hung that little brother on a tree, it didn't change nothing. When they told him in the courtroom, you're going to die, it didn't change nothing. But something happened when Jesus in the middle said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Something snapped in that man, and he realized who Jesus was. The first sign of conviction had entered the soul of that thief. Because he, whether he was on that side or that side, I love what he did. Now, y'all remember the walking, right? He hanging on the cross. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. The thief looked past Jesus to his friend. And the thing he said was incredible. He looked past Jesus and said, don't you fear God. We deserve what we're getting. But he did nothing wrong. Don't you get it in this early service? The first thing you must realize is who you are in this whole story. Who you are. You are a blind man trying to see. A crippled man trying to walk. A beggar trying to find another piece of bread. That's who we are. Without Jesus, we are nothing. We become nothing. We have nothing. When you realize that Jesus, the man in the middle, should have never been crucified. That thief said, don't you fear God? We deserve what we're getting. We've done wrong. But this man, he did nothing wrong. He does not deserve to die. He didn't just realize who he was. He realized who Jesus was. The first thing you have to do is realize who you are. I am a sinner. I am messed up. I don't deserve this. Why would Jesus save me? My mom gave me away. Yes, she did. I understand that. But I just couldn't get my head around why Jesus would be the man in the middle and die for me. What did I do to deserve him to give his life for me? What did he see in me that made me worth dying for, that my own mom didn't think I was worth having? Whatever it is, I got to find out what it is. I got to fight for my right to serve Jesus. I got to give him my soul. When you realize that, everything can change. Everything can change. The next thing he did was he justified Jesus. But this man has done nothing wrong. Everybody was making fun of Jesus. The crowd was yelling at him. The other thief was yelling at him. But this man with all the crowd justified who Jesus was. The world was mocking him, but you can hear one thief cry out, this man has done nothing wrong. I really like that. I'll read it to you so he can see his place, the thief. We are punished justly. We're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man did nothing wrong. Now he took his place among the sinners. He didn't have a mask anymore. He wasn't hiding anymore. In the court, he never said nothing. When he was beat, he didn't say nothing. But when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. All of a sudden, this thief says, I did it. I deserve to die. I wonder if he even knew what he was saying. He must have. Because see, the man in the middle, he could change everything. Even in death, it's worth it because of the man in the middle. I don't think y'all get what I'm saying this morning. The next thing he had to talk about faith. I love faith. This thief in his last moment showed more faith than I think anybody in the history of the Bible. Some of you are like, what about Abraham, the father of faith? Well, God worked with him 25 years so he can get there. No disrespect, Abraham. Are y'all listening to me? Well, what about Moses? Well, Moses had a burning tree talking to him. I'll believe too if you have a tree talking to me. Dude, today you don't want no tree talking to you. They'll put you in a mental ward quick. Can you imagine? Hey, there's a tree burning, but it's not burning, but it's only burning. Police like, what you smoking? He goes, no, the tree can talk. What did it say? Take off your shoes. You're going to jail. All right, I'm just saying. You're going to jail. Check his pockets. You got anything? It's just not good. That's what Moses had. But here's this man. Dude, not only that, where are the disciples? Hello? Peter denied him 3 times and cursed him. These thieves might have even heard him do that night. Where are the disciples? One of them sold him over for 30 pieces of silver. Where are they at? But here we are. We got this man just right here, standing up, naked in front of the world, just proclaiming who Jesus was. And they were screaming, you save others, save yourself. Don't you fear God? He doesn't deserve this. He's the Son of God. Father, remember me. He said, Jesus, remember me. That's all he said. Jesus, remember me. No, look at me. I need to let you guys know, this man couldn't do nothing. He couldn't go out and save someone. He couldn't do some deeds. He couldn't do no thing. Some of you think your deeds get you in heaven. You got to go work your way up. No, all you got to do is believe. I believe. That's all it is. This man had nothing to give Jesus. He was about to have his legs broken, die. You have nothing you can give Jesus. He did it all for you. There's somebody in this service this morning. You're sitting there, and the more I speak, the more nervous you're getting. You're starting to look at the ground. You're like, why is he pointing at me? Why is he looking at me? That ain't me. That's the Holy Spirit that's looking at you, calling you home. He's our conviction. He's calling you home this morning. Somebody needs to give Jesus their life today. Some of you looking at me like, bro, you preaching like somebody's about to die. Well, we are. When you woke up yesterday, you wasn't as close to dying as you were when you woke up this morning. It is appointed for every man to die once. After that, the judgment. Yeah, y'all don't like to hear that, do you? But it's all good. I'm flying back to America tomorrow. If I don't preach, now y'all don't understand. If I don't preach what I'm supposed to preach, God won't let me sleep on that whole flight. I am not going to lose sleep over you. I don't love you that much. I'm just saying right now, I'm going to let you have what I got to have. Oh, by the way, 5 weeks and 2 days ago. No, it would have been one day because I lose a day coming here. 5 weeks and 1 day ago, it was Friday in America. I walked into a school called Park Lawn in Florida. Everybody knows it now. My job was to speak to all the students, faculty, and staff who had a horrific thing happen on February 14th. You got to listen to me. I'm preaching like somebody's life depends on it. You know that when I go home this next year, I will speak face to face to 1.5 million public school students around the world. The majority of those will be in the United States of America. Do you know my insurance policy is the same as the most elite fighting soldier in the world? They're called the U.S. Navy SEAL team because their average death happens really fast. And the next person who dies really fast is a public school motivational speaker. That's me. They said my life is on the line every time I get up. I don't even think about that. You know what I'm thinking about? There's a little girl sitting in row 5, 6 seats in. Her mom died of cancer. Her dad is sleeping with her, and she needs hope. She needs to know that she can make it to the next day. There's a boy in the back left corner. He's thinking that nobody loves him, and he decided if anybody makes fun of me again, I'm going to go home, come back to school, and make everybody pay. You know what my job is? To make sure that boy never picks up a gun. Why? Because my words can give love. My words can give hope. My words can let people people know that it can make it. But you know what's behind my words of hope? You know what's behind my words of love? It's the cross that Jesus hung on. I'm only doing what he did first. He was beaten. He was bruised. And the only thing he said was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I got to be Jesus to a world, even if I can't say his name. I got to be Jesus in this room, even though you're Planet Shakers. Somebody's lost today. And I came to call you home. I came to call you home. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, it's time to go home. Time to go home. Somebody say, I believe. Do you really? I want to believe like this thief. I don't even think he realized he had nothing to lose. I don't even think he realized it. But he believed. Hey, can I drop some facts on you? Some of you scholars up in here. Because see, a lot of people who've been in church a long time hear sermons like this and they go, oh, well, salvation, I guess that's not for me. Hey, never forget where you're from. Because if you forget where you're from, you'll repeat the same sin over and over again. Just thought I'd let you know. Some of y'all looking at me like, well, I don't really like him. You think I care? No, seriously, do y'all really think I'm in a popularity contest? I'm not in no, I could give a rip what you think. Only thing that matters is Jesus. And if I preach the word and deliver it like this, he's going to be happy with me. So I could care less. You know what? And if you got a problem with me, you're probably the one with the sin. And your sin, because see what? The Bible says the truth will set you free. It makes you angry first. So if you're getting angry right now, check yourself. Because in about 10 minutes, I'm going to give an altar call and you can come forward. And we can take care of it. We're going to have an attitude adjustment up here up front. I love it, y'all. Can you imagine? This is the early service. Think what I'm going to be like at 6 p.m. And oh, by the way, oh no, I'm double downing today. I'm double down. I'm going to do this twice in the morning. I got a whole nother salvation sermon for twice this afternoon. So when you leave here, if you got somebody need to be saved, you need to get them here at 3:30 or 6 o'clock. If you got a friend you've been working on, you need to get them here at 3:30 or 6 o'clock because that's a whole nother sermon and it's off the chain. This ain't nothing. But I'm like, you know what this is? This is like hors d'oeuvres. We're doing the appetizers right now. At 3:30 and 6, I'm breaking out the steak. We're breaking out the prime rib up in here because guess what? It's time for the world to be saved. You know why? Because believe it or not, Jesus is coming. The brother's coming back. Y'all don't think, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. Don't get distracted. The thief was the first man to enter paradise after the veil in the temple was rent. He's the first salvation under the new covenant. Isn't it great? Because all the people clapping like, oh my goodness, I should have known that. Dude, he's the first. Okay, by the way, for those of you who look at me, before Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day, before that, if you wanted to get saved, salvation to be yours, you would have to go to the priest or the pastor and tell him everything you did. He would go behind this thick, thick curtain into the presence of God and tell God what you told him. It's like God already knew, but they had to do it that way. Then he would come back and say, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more. That's how it had to be. But when Jesus died on that Friday, when he died, man, a lot of stuff happened when Jesus died. I mean, like earthquake hit, the sun disappeared, dead people in the local cemetery came back to life again. Talk about the walking dead. Can you imagine the dude who married his best friend's wife? And then he came back from the dead and knocked on the door at his house. We should make a movie. We could make some money on that one right there. I'm just saying. He's the first. This man stood on the border of hell and Jesus snatched him from the grips of Satan. Somebody here today, you are standing on the border of hell, and Jesus is knocking at your door. Romans and Revelations, it says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I'll come in. He don't have to knock on a door. He could do one of them Jedi things, and the door just opens. But he's letting you choose him. He's letting you choose your path. He's letting you choose right or wrong. He's letting you choose hope or evil. He's letting you choose life or death. And you got to choose Jesus this morning. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I got a few more minutes left to tell you that you just got to believe. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am the son of a prostitute. And you know what changed in my life? I believed that Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus Christ. I believed that God loved us so much that he gave his only son to pay the ransom for our sin. I believed that Jesus turned the water into wine. I believe that Jesus healed a blind man. I believe that Jesus made a cripple walk again. I believe that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. I believe that Jesus went to a dad's house to raise a girl that was 12 from death. I believe on his way to her house, he healed a woman who had issues. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he believed in me. I believe that he saved me. I believe that he saved a thief. And if all I have to say is three words, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl. God, you know who we are. God, you know what we've gone through. God, you know everything about us. I pray the next 3 minutes, God, your Holy Spirit would do something amazing in this early service. God, speak to the heart of your children. God, let a girl know that you were there the whole time, even in her saddest night. But because of her choice, you didn't move. But today you're ready to move if she chooses you. God, let a man know today that his past can be his history and his future could be his destiny. If he just chooses you, that he would call on the name of the Lord and he will be saved. God, let them know that you paid our ransom. That on the cross that you said, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. It was for us. That no matter what evil or sin that's in our life, you did it for us. And this morning is the day of salvation. It's a day of reckoning. It's a day that we're on the cross. And we hear you saying, Father, forgive them. And our choice is not to be silent like one thief, but to cry out, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what's in your life. I don't know the sin. I don't know. I don't care. I don't care what you've done. But if you're here and you're away from God, this is your moment. If you're here and you backslid, this is your name. This is your moment. Some of you are like, oh, I tried it before. God can't love me. God can't love me. He doesn't know. He knows what I did. He can't save me. No. He did die for you. He will save you. All you have to do is say yes. But this is Planet Shakers. We're a family. So we're going to do it from the back to the front and the left to the right. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I love it. Also in Romans it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody's different than anybody else. Though our reasons are different, the sin is still the same. But the man in the middle is still the same too. Call on the name of the Lord today. So everybody in this room, say these three words with me. Jesus, remember me. Come on. Jesus, remember me. One more time. Jesus, remember me. Now say this, I give you my life, Jesus. I'm sorry what I've done. I'm sorry where I've gone. I'm sorry to the things that have happened. But I have nowhere else to go today. And I know you're in the middle. And I know you're dying for me. So I'm looking at you now. And I'm just asking you, Jesus, remember me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. At this moment, whether I feel it or not, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe today the sin I walked in this room with, I am not walking out of this room with, because Jesus remembered. So here we are. We're at the moment, at the time, at the place where we get to resound those three words. Jesus, remember me. No matter what you're going through, He loves you. No matter where you've been, He loves you. Don't let your past dictate your future right now. Let the man in the middle dictate your future and let him become Lord and Savior of your life. If you're saved, give him everything. Remember that he's there for you, that he loved you so much that no matter what you slip back into, he can redeem you. So let's all look to the man in the middle and let's all say together, Jesus, remember me. We'll see you next time.